you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast with Dr. Heather Lin, the Anunnaki Connection. Heather, who were the Anunnaki?
Well, isn't that the million-dollar question? I think the Anunnaki is... This is where it gets a little different in my research.
It's gray. There's no doubt about that.
Yes, and there's so many different characters, if you will, in this story. And so from my understanding and my research, it seems as though there are just so many of these deities that, some scholars say we just don't even know how many, because some could still be out there that we've not discovered. So knowing this and seeing all the many, then tracing back how far they go and how different they are, some of them are physical beings. Some of them are described as semi-biological entities, and some of them are even described as supernatural entities. And all of those fall under this label of Anunnaki. And so what I tend to believe is that the Anunnaki includes many different gods and many different deities throughout all of this different time. And over time, I think that based on some of the tablets that I discuss in the book, I think that the word Anunnaki sort of turned into a label or a position much later. So just as we have the word Lord, and we would say that Lord God or Lord Jesus or whichever religion you may have is a god, but then we also have a landlord, or, you know, that word has now become just a casual word. So in a lot of different ways, it seems as though the word Anunnaki can mean a very large range of these beings, some of which were clearly human beings that were also kings. But again, some of those are also described clearly as supernatural beings, and so they're all Anunnaki.
Zachariah Sitchin, of course, claims they came from a planet called Nibiru, which is in our solar system, but it goes way out on a 3,600-year elliptical orbit, but that they are from that planet. What do you think?
Well, I think that the question of Nibiru is a little less straightforward than that. Yes, he did think that the question of Nibiru was sort of a giant planet that would pass by Earth every 3,600 years. The references to Nibiru in the Mesopotamian tablets are actually very, very fragmentary at best. And so it really gives rise to many different possible interpretations. And so it gets more complicated because astronomical associations are factored in. So these planets or celestial bodies could also represent different gods and these things. So, I'm really not sure after the research I've done that it would be a planet. And I cover...
Yeah, you sound a little hesitant about
it. I am hesitant to commit to it being an actual planet. If you were to look at the word Nibiru, the newer Akkadian spelling is N-E-B-E-R-U, and that would mean to cross over, or sometimes with an I, it means a ferryman, which is interesting, as in like one you may see if you were crossing over. But if you break the word apart, and this is just, a curiosity, if you really break the word apart and look at it separately, the N-E, according to an older translation, would mean a brazier or a container for hot coals. It also meant strength or force, and this is coming from the University of Pennsylvania's Sumerian Dictionary, which is definitely scholarly and available to everybody to look at. The B in it, the B-E, meant to diminish or receive, and then the R-I meant to lay down or cast or throw down. And so if you kind of, just put all those together, you could interpret Nibiru to mean a forceful brazier diminishing as it's being thrown down, which sounds a little wonky. But if you think about it, it really sounds like the actions of maybe a comet. I think it falls.
What about another dimension or a multiverse?
I really couldn't rule that out for sure. I mean, we have no way of knowing, and that's something that I think is really important when you consider all of these different theories. And rather than say, well, this person got this wrong or that wrong, I think when you consider what we're actually talking about in the vast time period and the very little information we have, and also considering how much the ancients knew that we don't give them credit for, maybe they were aware of such things. I mean, they were aware of so many different technologies and sciences, and of course, very complicated astronomy. Why couldn't they? I think anything is open at this point.
Your cover of the illustration of your book, The Anunnaki Connection, depicts what I would think is Adam and Eve, correct?
Yes.
Now, Zachariah Sitchin claims that the Anunnaki genetically manipulated whatever species or entities were on our planet at the time, and hence came Adam and Eve. What do you think of that theory?
Well, I think that the texts specifically say that the Lord, in this case, formed man. And so in my belief, what we have here is a somewhat biblical story of the Garden of Eden, and not necessarily the history of a biological creation in that way from those particular texts. If you look at the narrative of the Garden of Eden, which predates what we have in the Old Testament by a lot, so there's very ancient tellings of this, and it may actually be oral tradition as well that then later got written down, making it far older than we could even imagine to some extent. But the formation of man is a really important concept there, and so with formation, it could be something more akin to civilizing. If we look at the sort of story that it takes place, the place of Eden appears in the cuneiform tablets and translates in Sumerian to an uncultivated plain. And when it speaks of Adam, the Hebrew Adama translates to ground, and the word Adam in Hebrew literally means red, which connected Adam to the red soil of the uncultivated plain. And so, this connection has sometimes been recognized as a reference to man being created from clay, but that's something that is pretty well debated currently, even in religious scholarship. So it gets a little dicey when you go into this because you're starting to challenge a lot of orthodoxies and a lot of different religious ideas, and it can get people pretty upset. But in terms of how the people were created, I think that it's more of a semantic issue. I can't say for certain that they were biologically created, say, in in like a lab coat, beaker sort of science fiction type way.
Right, which is how Zechariah portrayed it, basically.
Kind of like that, yeah. And I think it would be more likely that it was done through careful genetic manipulation and selective breeding.
Nonetheless, it's an incredible story, isn't it, Heather?
Oh, it absolutely is. And so much of it is so unknown still. I mean, I'm so surprised every day when I, you know, get a new class of students in, and I usually start going through and saying, how many are familiar with the Sumerians? And at very best, I get about 5% of the hands up in the air. The young people today have no idea who the Sumerians are. I take it a step further, and I say, what about the Egyptians? And a lot of them don't even know about the Egyptians.
Really?
Really.
Are they aware of the pyramids?
They're aware, but a lot of them, I do these informal polls in the beginning so that I can kind of adjust my teaching to that and to not assume that they know. And I've asked many times, are you familiar with King Tut? That's one that hardly anybody knows. And I say, what about television? Do you not see things on television? And just sort of blank stares, like, it's not their fault. That they look at me like, should we know? Is it something we need to know? And I just think, wow, the public schooling has failed them. And then they come to college and they have to be taught all these things.
That's an interesting take, too. So the Anunnaki, could they be demonic? Could they be the fallen angels?
You know, when I was researching my previous book, Evil Archaeology, I kept coming up to that more and more. Every time I would see that there was this direct link between evil entities and demons and then these Anunnaki sort of gods, I don't
And then
know
you got to bring the Bible into it.
And then you have to bring the Bible in and different religions and different ideas. But, you know, you can do sort of a comparative analysis between a lot of different gods and you know, deities and demons, and there's something very similar to all of them. They have kind of a thread. So, for instance, I don't think that they're all demons in that classical sense, because the Sumerians had their own pantheon of demons. But there is a little crossover. So when you have Enki, who is looked at to the Sumerians as like a giver of information and a very important god, but if you look at his story, it really is similar to that of Prometheus. It's similar to Lucifer of the Gnostic faith, if you will. And it's like Loki to the Nordics and, so many different ones. And so in a way, given that, you know, you could say that that could be a demon-like influence, given how we see Lucifer today as a demon, though it may not be in that traditional sense of demon, like a little creature or a, you know, anthropomorphized animal or something like that. So I think it's a little blurred, but I don't think that they're unrelated. And that's something that I think is really important. And, you know, the more and more I've looked into these subjects about the others, the different sort of life forms or otherworldly entities, the more I see a connection between what we may call demons, but we may also call angels, and things like aliens or even Anunnaki.
Mm-hmm. Do you think ancient wisdom is being suppressed?
I do. I do. I know that sounds very, you know, over the top or even conspiratorial.
Not really. Not on this show.
Oh, good. Because I do actually think that is the case. If you remember the looting in the Iraqi museum, that was something that was clearly planned.
Oh, yeah. That was...
Yeah, our own government came out and said that, you know, this had been done by somebody who knew what they were doing. They came in.
And what they wanted.
They knew what they wanted. They had a list, and they went in with surgical precision, and they took what they wanted, many of which actually were Sumerian texts. If you could believe that, almost 5,000 of them were Sumerian texts. So that's, you know, interesting in and of itself, but we're living in a time where so much is being held back. I mean, you could look at the suppression in a number of ways. One, if you consider that most of the students that come into my class have no idea who the Sumerians are, that means that in public school they're not being told a lot of just basic, important, foundational information. And then two, on a different front, you have the destruction of libraries and museums today. Just like the burning of the library in Alexandria, mm-hmm. we've had that very thing happen, you know, in modern time with the burning of the National Museum of Brazil.
Can I go out of a limb here and say that you believe the Anunnaki are probably extraterrestrial, your personal belief?
My personal belief is that as you could define them as extraterrestrial, not that they would be necessarily the grays, per se. I mean, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say that and that type of extraterrestrial, but I think we're looking at something maybe more...
out of this world?
Interdimensional, out of this world, that sort of thing.
Yeah, all you may be right there. Where are they? Where'd they go?
I think they're still here.
Uh-huh. Because we look like them. Who would know, right?
Well, I don't know if they look, I don't know if they could materialize, I don't know if it's something like that, but I do think that in a lot of ways, they're still with us. If you look at it as a sort of interdimensional thing, there's a lot of reason to believe that people are still trying to contact these beings today. So if you think about through history, people trying to make contact with, say, demons or angels, or, you know, using Enochian magic, as John Dee did, to try to contact these entities, which I believe are the same entities, you have now groups of people, even in modernity here in Silicon Valley, who are trying to contact off-world beings using different forms of meditation and also DMT. You know, and I say this not to scare anybody, or, you know, I know a lot of people are very much interested in exploring other realms using psychedelics, and I'm not promoting the use of psychedelics, and nor am I discouraging them. I believe in freedom. But I will say that there are many people who've experienced contacting these sorts of entities who they characterize as elves or aliens or guides or even helpers. And at the same time, some of them visually see these creatures look like things that we would describe the alien abduction scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, reptilians or praying mantises. So I wouldn't rule that out either.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.